Amen. I'm working with this technology. It's pretty good now. Thank you, Brother Dick Dixon. Praise the Lord. He's sitting waiting on me, ready for me to come rolling. Boy, God is good, is he not? In the land of living, no matter what we're going through in this world, God is with us all the time. Amen. Amen. This is the perfect time in what's going on in the world for believers to tell a dying soul what it means to be saved. We have a perfect opportunity to witness to people right now. People are so concerned about, are you putting your mask on? Do you have your mask on? If we had that same vigor worrying about folks' soul, you know what kind of place we would be? If we would have that same vigor to say, hey, instead of, do you have your mask on? Are you saved? Do you know the true and living God? Man, what a world we would live in today if everyone was one another in one another. What a beautiful thing. Today's scripture comes from Matthew 28 and 20. And I gave you a title this morning, so the feeling of being forsaken, saying, have I been forsaken? So while you find that, let me tell you this event. I always don't like to say stories. I like to tell you events. So I got a small message for you today, but I got a couple of events to share with you. So in Chicago, some time ago, back in the time we still had beepers, you know. Everybody had a beeper. Well, there was this good doctor. We'll call him a good doctor. This is a true event. And this good doctor was a specialist in his field. He did things that only he could do. Amen, only he could do. So this doctor one day about 3 a.m. got the beep, 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 beep. And he took the beeper. He said, oh, the hospital's calling me. He calls in the hospital. There'd been a terrible accident. And they said, doctor, good doctor, we need you. We need you to come right away. He said, okay, I'll get dressed and head toward. And they said, they again told him it was an emergency. This young soul was in deep trouble, and only the good doctor could get there and do what he got to do. So he takes off, gets his vehicle, jumps in, halfway dressed, halfway in pajamas, halfway in a suit, and away he takes off. He's driving. Now this is Chicago. Chicago's a very violent, rough town if you ever lived there or been around there. I'm not beating down Chicago. That's just the facts. And so the good doctor moves out, and he tries to get to where he has to go, to the hospital. Well, he thinks, well, look, there is a shortcut, but the neighborhood is not that good. But I'm going to get there because it's imperative that I get there. So he makes a turn, and he starts going. And about two lights in, he stopped, and some man opens his door. This man has on a gray shirt and a flannel shirt and a gray hat. And he tells a good doctor, get out of the car. He orders, I need this car. And the doctor tried to plead with him. I need to do what I need to do. He says, get out of the car. He puts the good doctor out, gets in the car, takes off. So sometime the doctor is 3 a.m. in the morning, he's trying to hail a taxi, and he's on the bad side of Chicago. But he finally gets to the hospital. He gets over to the hospital, and he gets there. He's greeted by the head nurse, and she's coming sadly and shaking her head and said, I'm so sorry, doctor, but that the young patient passed away a few minutes ago. But the family member is here, and went to the chapel, and they was wondering, why didn't you show up? Where's the doctor? And so he says, well, I'll go to try to console him. And he goes to the chapel, and when he gets to the chapel, he finds the man in the flannel shirt and the gray hat. So I'm just telling you that because sometimes in our lives, in our situation, we're going to use this later, we know that we don't allow the good doctor to do what he's supposed to do. We don't allow the good doctor to get where he's supposed to get and work on our situation to do what only he can do. Amen. So while we're feeling this sense of forsakenness, let's read into our hearing Matthew 28 and 20. And what I'd like to do, if you have your Bible with you, we stand in honor of the word of God, and if we're able to stand, we ask you to stand in honor of his word. And if anyone would like to share their reading today, I'll give you this opportunity. Anyone would like to read? Matthew 28, 20. Yes, ma'am.
I'm teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you.
Amen. And that version of your Bible? NIV. Anyone have another version they would like to read? The same scripture. Yes, sir. Amen. We may be seated. There's two versions. They always say, Pastor, why don't you do that? I said, because some people don't get the these and thous, and some people don't get a certain version. They always say, well, what Bible should I get? I said, the one that you get understanding. Because the Word of God says, in all you're getting, get understanding. So now we have two versions of the same verse. One said, surely I'm with you. Other one says, lo, I'm with you. So we start to get acclimated to two sets of languages, like speaking two languages as in the biblical languages. We start to understand whatever verse comes from, we start to get what God wants us to have. So if you hear, if you can recall some type of emotion you ever had in your life, a feeling helpless and or even helping others, and your emotions get attached to someone, and sometimes misunderstandings take place and go on and on, going back and forth. But if you love somebody unconditionally in that agape fashion, as Christ loves the church and his people, because Christ loves us unconditionally, because we are the sheep of his pastors. We are his children. But the other side of unconditional love comes that feeling of forsakenness, the feeling that you have been left all alone. Excuse me. Have you ever heard of someone upset saying, just leave me alone? You ever heard some people do that? Just leave me alone. And you start thinking, huh? Do you really mean that? Do you really want that? Do you really want us to leave you alone? Do you really want God or the people to leave you alone? So, you know, the Cherokee boys, they have a rite of passage. The young man is taken deep into the woods, and he's sat on a stump, and he's blindfolded. And his mission, if he chooses to accept it, is to sit there on that stump, blindfolded, all night long. So while he's out in the middle of the midst of the woods, sitting blindfolded all night long, he begins to hear noises of the night, wild animals. He may feel defenseless. He may get cold as he sat there. And he has a feeling of being uncovered, vulnerable to the elements and to whatever walks, stalks, and crawls in the night. But in order for him to pass on to his manhood, he must endure his challenge. At daybreak, once he feels the light of the sun on his face, he can remove the blindfold. Once he feels the sun on his face, he can remove the blindfold. But not until then. Once he does this, he will find throughout his entire ordeal, throughout all he was going through and all the darkness, his struggling that he was going through, the things that crawl and creep at night and the noises. Some of the things he found out, there was his mind's perception of the noises and the critters and the things that walk, stalk, and crawl at night, the beasts of the field, and those things that walk and fly, swooping past him, or the breezes he felt. But when he takes his blindfold off, he realizes all along his father was sitting on the stump next to him, overwatching him, overseeing and protecting him throughout his entire ordeal. So this is what a God that we serve, this is what he does to us throughout your pains and struggles, throughout the messes that you're in, the addictions that you've been through, throughout the headaches in the midst of your bad relationships, inside your family, strama is stress and drama combined. God has been with you, because he said in our passages, surely and lo will I be with you even to the end of the age. Deuteronomy 3, 1, Deuteronomy 31 and 6 in NIV says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid nor terrified. Because of them, the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Even in the Old Testament, even before the covenant of Christ Jesus, God the Father said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Likened to the father sitting on the stump nearby, God is quietly overseeing our lives, quietly watching, quietly protecting us. What a God we serve. One that oversees all things, that watches us in the good and, yes, even in the bad times, in the things that we do right and even in the things that we do wrong. That's correct, people. Even in the midst of your sin, God is watching and overseeing and protecting you even to the end of the age. Boy, God is amazing. Philippians 4 and 13 says, I can do anything in him that strengthens me. Anything. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. If we would just take effect that God is with us always, our life would be much, much easier. If we would know that God is with us, our struggles would be over. One good pastor in a Canelo Cowboy Church, I like to say what he says. He says, brother, if things are bad, keep praying because it ain't over. Because once it's over, you're going to win in the end. I said, brother, I'm going to remember that. I'm going to keep that. But you know what preachers do? They say, this guy said it before. And then you say, like I always say, amen, until you get it right. But it's amazing, just like the Cherokee father watching over them, then we have to allow the good doctor to come in and do what he's supposed to do. When it's time for the good doctor, you got to understand, it's a hands-off situation. God is in control. Let's pray and let the good doctor come in and do what he does for us. Amen. And I pray that this morning that someone would understand and see this short message of what God is doing in our lives, and that we don't have to have the feeling of forsakenness, because God is with us even to the end of the age. He sent his dying son, Jesus Christ, to allow us to have the right to the tree of life. And now, through that, we are saved by grace. Isn't that amazing what God has done for us? In spite of ourselves, he gives us what's called agape love. He loves. I think it's my voice. But I'm going to tell you this. This is something I want to lay on your heart. This is a song that's been on my heart for about a month now. And sometimes I don't get it right. But it's still there. You ever had a hum in your heart that you just keep? My mother's the same way. In the morning, she would have the whole house filled with a hum. And that hum would go throughout. I feel like it goes through the walls and it's around us. Mom's humming. And the spirit of the living God would come and just go all through and penetrate through the house. And whatever you're doing, you hear the hum of my mother. And the spiritual, she would be humming and singing. Sometimes she wouldn't say a word. She would just hum it. And that hum would resonate throughout your life. It's like the tone of a bell. We hit the bell, boom, and the tone goes and resonates. That's how my mother's hum would be. And she would put that song in your heart, and it would be there all day long. No matter what you was doing or found yourself in, that hum would be with you. That resonating hum of the spirit of the living God would resonate with you. So I pray this morning that I get this song right today for you, that it'll resonate with you. Amen. Jesus, you're the center of my joy. All that's good and perfect comes from you. You're the heart of my Jesus, you're the center of. It's dark and cold. In sadness, you're the laughter that shatters all my fears. When I'm all alone, your hand is there to hold. For my contentment, hope for all I do. Oh, Jesus, you're the center of my joy. You're why I find pleasure in simple things in life. You are the music in the meadow. You're the answer and my hand. You're the source and the finish of my highest dream. Ooh, Jesus, you're the center of my joy. Ooh, you're all that's good, good and perfect, comes from you. And you're the heart of my contentment, hope for all I do. Oh, Jesus, you're the center of my joy. Jesus, you're the center of my joy. Mm-hmm. You're all that's good, good and perfect, comes from you. And you're the heart of my contentment, hope for all I do. Oh, Jesus, to the center of my joy. I praise God for you today as we pray. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity to lift your name on high. Father, like none other this day, you made like a different one. Father, you assembled us here together, and we may not ever be able to see the same people here again, Father. But today, Father, we say thank you for this opportunity to lift your name on high. We pray for those who may be listening or seeing us through internet sources that if they would have a song in their heart today, a song that resonates through their life and through their day, and lift your name on high with it. And Father, we pray that they would see or talk to someone today either on phone or check on one another and ask if they're saved and not guess any longer, but ask if they know you and a part of their sins. We pray, Father, that each person on the sound of my voice would know the sinner's prayer, know how to lead another to you, O Father. This simple prayer, like, Lord, come into my life. I believe that you died on Calvary and rose again for remission of my sins. And with that, Father, I can be saved and have a right to the tree of life. Something as simple as that, that we pray that each person on the sound of my voice would know you in the pardon of their sins and would seek your face, O Father, and find you while they can, O Father. And then, even yet, Father, those are the neighbors that they talk to and the people they see in the stores, they don't go out much, but they still go to the store. And Father, when they go there, we pray that the light will shine so others may see. And they would ask a dying soul what it means to be saved. And someone would would lead another to you, O Father. We say thank you for this opportunity and each one that you give us in the course of our life, in the course of our day, in the course of our city, O Father. We pray for those that you put in charge, Father, in our cities, in our county. Father, we pray that they would all know you in the part of their sins. And then, Father, they would be likewise go out and share the word of God and treat people as you would have us treat one another. We say thank you, Father. Bless us throughout this place and each person that you have given an increase to, each church that you watch that stand up in your name. Bless them, Father. Today is a day like none other. We pray that we change lives today and people will be able to call on you anytime, day and night. Because, Father, you said in your word that, lo, and surely you will be with us even to the end of the age. Let those who love the Lord say amen. When we offer the same thing to you, I'm not going to guess. I would just say that the doors of the church are always open for those who want to come as candidates for baptism, or those in the letters of Christian experience, or those who want to get to Christ. If you don't know who he is, if you have not confessed your love for him, if he's in your life, publicly, we give you this opportunity to do so. Not even for myself or anyone here, I'm sure they can lead you to Christ, and we want you to not be the same when you leave each time you come. Amen. Time is given, and there will be none. There's still room at the cross for one. And give a hand of praise. Amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Praise the Lord. Thank you for having me. God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor Turner.